Today is the 30th of January 2018, Tuesday class. So we will now get ready for puja. Let us compose our mind, develop the faith, sadha, virya, spiritual zeal, and mindfully we shall commence the puja. Namo Bhansi Sakya Muni Pho. Namo Bhansi Sakya Muni Pho. Namo Bhansi Sakya Muni Pho. Namo Quan Sing Pusa. Namo Quan Sing Pusa. Namo Quan Sing Pusa. Namo Amitofo. Namo Amitofo. Namo Amitofo. Namo Milofo. Namo Milofo. Namo Milofo. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Arahang Samma Sambuddho Bhagava. Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namassami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Sanghang Namami. Okay, you all can be seated. Then just turn to page 1 of the chanting book. We will chant the Vandana onwards. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami. Dhammang saranang gacchami. Sanghang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adinadana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu micacara viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musavada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Surameraya macchapamadatthana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Now we are chanting the Padipa Puja offering of light. We are on page 3. Ganna sarapaditena dipena tamadangsina tiloka dipang sambuddhang pujayami tamonudang. Ganda sambarayutena dopenaha ุกังหินาปุจายะปุจานิยังตังปุจาปัจจานะโมทะมังวันนากันดากุโนเปตังเอตังกุสุมาสันตทินปุจายามิโมนินดาสสิริปาดาสารโรเหปุจเจมิบุตังกุสุเมนาเนนาปุณณนามเตนะเชโหตุโมคังปุพังมิลายติยตาอิดังเมกายโยตตายติวินัสบาวังอาดิวาสเสตุโนบันเทปานิยังปริกาปิตังอนุคัมปังอุปาทายะปาติกันหาทุมุทะมังอาดิวาสเสตุโนบันเทปาเลปริกาปิตังอนุคัมปังอุปาทายะปาติกันหาทุมุทะมังอาดิวาสเสตุโนบันเตโบจานังปริกาปิทังอนุคัมปังอุปาทายะปาติกันหาตุมุทะมัง Now you chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all this puja offering.Significance of offering of light to the Buddha. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma.That cools and doses of the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits.May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body.So that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana. Making of overall aspiration, by the power of all these merits born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of sada, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya,be further strengthened until they become balas or powers. Sharing of merits and transfer of merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the conditions and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.Okay, let us pay respect to Tripa Jama. Badang Pajami. Damang Pajami. Sanghang Pajami. Okay, you all can be seated.Then I think there are some more offering, huh? Garland, yeah, come. You might offer it now. Yeah. Then we also rejoice with the offering just now, huh? The apples and the oranges. Huh? Let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we wait for the garland to be offered. Huh? Yeah. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. It's okay. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, you can be seated. Then just relax yourself, body and mind. Make sure you have a stable posture. If you find sitting on the floor problem, you can sit on a couch. Or sit on anything. Okay. I don't know. We will off the light, For those already know how to meditate, you can straight away proceed. For the rest, especially the new people who need instruction, you listen to the instruction, then you try to develop whatever understanding you have to allow you to develop the meditation. If you had done any other meditation before, you can also use whatever meditation training that you have. Then later you can report, I can advise you. If you are new, you need instruction, then I will give you some simple instruction to train your mind. Okay, just relax body and mind, completely relax. Relax means don't go and hold on to things or worry about things. Let the mind settle down, calm itself down. The mind that is relaxed will settle down. If thought arise, let it arise. Don't fight it, don't suppress it, don't do anything to it. If you have the patience to allow it to be, it will slow down. Then finally it will become quiet on its own. What you need to do is to learn how to relax your physical body and your mind. So I will teach you a skillful means to relax your body and mind. We call it the mind sweeping method, followed by loving kindness or metta. So to do this is very easy. Make sure you have a stable posture. Then relax. Close your eye. Make sure your backbone is straight. Then breathe in, breathe out normally. Then maintain some form of attention on your forehead. Just feel your forehead. You can detect any tension, any stress within. You just relax it, relax, relax, and relax. Feel it soothingly, relax. Then you can move your attention down to your eye muscle. Normally after a tired day, your eye muscles are also quite stressed up, not relaxed. So you feel, you can detect any tension, any tightness or any stress within. Just relax, relax and relax into it. Feel it soothingly relax. Then you soothe it down to your facial muscle. Again, feel, relax. Each and every strand of your facial muscle, feel it soothingly. Relax, relax and relax. Then to help you relax further, you can visualize yourself facing a mirror, radiating a radiant smile. When you can smile, you have joy. when you have joy, your facial muscle will relax on its own. Yeah. Then you can radiate love and metta first to yourself. You can recite them following what I recite. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. As you recite, you must feel it, really feel it. Feel your entire body and mind having this relaxed and well-being. Then you can repeat this a few times. May I, this body and mind of mine, feel the body and mind, be well and happy, well and happy. Feel the well-being within your physical body and joy within your physical body and mind. Most important is to feel it, to feel it, to establish that well-being and that joy within each and every cells within your physical body. Feel it, having this well-being and joy. Then you continue to radiate. We are reciting, may I, this body and mind of mine too, be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. May it too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled, and may it keep itself happy and peaceful always. May this body and mind of mine too be free of all harm and danger. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within my mind. Then you can extend this love or metta to all your loved ones. May all my loved ones, may they all too be well and happy, well and happy. You can visualize them and radiate this love and metta to them. May they all too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. Then we can extend this love and metta to all beings within this vicinity. May all beings within this vicinity, known and unknown, seen and unseen, including all fellow meditators, kayanamitas, may they all too be well and happy, well and happy. May their body and mind too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. Then we extend this metta to all beings within the whole of SS2, Patalingjaya, Selangor, Malaysia, Southeast Asia, Asia, and Mother Earth, our planet. Then to all beings throughout the entire solar system, our galaxy, our Milky Way, and all beings throughout the entire existence or universe, may they all too be well and happy, well and happy. May they all too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. By now you should be more calm and more peaceful. Then you can maintain attention and come back to your facial muscle. Just feel and relax. Don't think, just feel, relax. Relax every part of your facial muscle. Then you bring your attention down to your neck, feel, relax, shoulder, feel, relax, hand, feel, relax, back to shoulder, feel, relax. Then you move your attention down to your heart area or your chest area. This is a very important location within your body. This is where your heartbeat arises and passes away. Your life force or karmic force arises and passes away. This is also where your mind resides, the seat of consciousness. Yeah. So you just silence everything and feel. Don't think, just feel. You can detect any vibration or your heartbeat. You just silence everything and just stay there. Yeah. Stay there. Mm. And let it settle down. Whatever that arises, just let it be. Yeah. If you are new, if you are not sensitive, then it's okay. You can just feel, yeah, like you feel your forehead. Then just relax, relax and relax into every part within your heart area. Wherever there is any tension, any tightness or any stress within, you just relax them. Feel it soothingly. Relax, relax and relax. Then you move your attention down to your stomach. Feel, relax. Then sweep it down to your abdomen. Feel, relax. Then sweep it down to your leg. Feel, relax. Then your buttock, feel, relax. Then you can reverse this whole process. Starting with the buttock, feel, relax. Your leg, feel, relax. Then you move it up to your abdomen. Just feel, relax. Then you move it up to your stomach, feel, relax. Then you move it up further to your chest area or your heart area. Silence everything and just feel. Any tension, any tightness, any stress within, just relax, relax and relax into it. Then silence everything and maintain the silent mind, the awareness to be aware. You can detect any vibration or heartbeat, stay there. Don't do anything. If you can't, then just move on. Move your attention, sweep it up to your shoulder, feel, relax. Then neck, feel, relax. Hand, feel, relax. Then you move it up to your facial muscle, again, feel, relax. Then from your facial muscle, you move it up to your eye muscle, feel, relax. Then your forehead, feel, relax. Feel it soothingly, relax. By now, you should be more calm and more peaceful. You have to develop the ability to stabilize this calm mind, this peaceful mind, this quiet mind, so that your meditation can become more stable and it can progress further. So I will teach you another technique. We call it anapanasati. Anapana is the in and out breath. Sati is mindfulness. So anapanasati is the mindfulness of the in and out breath. So now instead of feeling your forehead, you feel your breathing. You feel in front of your nostril. Feel silent everything. Then like the Buddha said, breathing in, the mind is aware. So maintain mindfulness at the nostril. Detect the breathing. The moment the mind detect the breathing, it must move in unison with the breathing. Means your breath and your mind move as one. Then like the Buddha's instruction, breathing in, aware. Breathing out, aware. Just do that. This is a very useful training. You can do that. Your mind will settle down, become very quiet. Where you only aware, no more thinking. Then there is a type of peace that can arise. Initially, if you are new, you are not used to anapanasati, then what you can do is you just silence everything, just relax and feel the breath at the nostril area. Then try to detect the breathing. Then try to repeat all this exercise. Breathing in, away. Breathing out, away. But if you are new, chances are within split second you cannot maintain mindfulness. Your mind will be distracted. It will wander off very fast. Then you are no longer aware of your breathing. But it's okay. The moment you are aware that you are no longer mindful of your breathing, you should patiently bring your mind back to your breathing. Maintain attention at the nostril again. Try to detect the breathing. If you are patient, within 5 to 10 minutes, you can stabilize it. It's easier than learning how to ride a bicycle. So be patient. Every time the mind wanders off, get distracted, you bring it back to the breathing. Then try this exercise by detecting the breath and move on with the breathing. If you can do that, when this stabilizes, your mind becomes different. Your mind becomes very calm, very peaceful. And you can experience a type of peace, which the Buddha called piti. Piti is a spiritual calmness, spiritual peacefulness of mind. Some call it a spiritual rupture. Because the mind like become very, very, very peaceful. Then it's like a rupture into a type of meditative calmness. Then you continue to relax into it, silent everything, relax and follow the breathing until this breathing become more and more refined, more and more quiet. Then from piti, it will transform to become sukhang or sukha. Sukha is a more refined state of piti. It is a blissful state. It is very, very blissful. It's really, there is a type of bliss that will arise within your in and out breath. Then you feel very good, you like to meditate, you feel very calm. Then after that you continue to relax and allow the anapanasati to continue until this anapanasati become more and more refined, more and more refined, more and more quiet, until slowly it will settle down until it become very quiet, very still, until no thought. They call it paucity, the tranquility of mind or stillness of mind. This mind become like still, no more thinking, no more movement. When you hit that, that is the meditative mind, that is the silent mind. So all our training in meditation is to develop this mind, then stabilize it until it's very calm, very peaceful. Until the tranquility or stillness of mind become very stable, then it will develop samadhi. Samadhi is the collectedness of mind, the unwavering mind. When the mind has samadhi, it does not waver, it does not get distracted, it does not stir unnecessarily. Then slowly, slowly, this mind will develop into a type of stability that it can enter sati. When the mind enters sati, you would have progressed quite well. When mind enters sati, everything that arises upon contact with your senses, you can detect them. Your mind becomes very sensitive. Your mind has the ability to be aware. So every moment of consciousness, there is awareness. At the moment of seeing, there is this awareness of seeing. Hearing too, the mind enters sati. Then smell, taste, tactile, thought process, all the same. So just relax body and mind, silent everything. Allow things to be. Do not suppress, do not control, do not try to do anything. Just silent, completely silent. But before that, you need to train. You train your mind. After you have trained, you just silent everything. Then the silent mind will understand. The silent mind will meditate. Then you will start to witness many things happening within your own form of mind. all of the essential Dhamma that the Buddha talk about, you will come to experience them. Then understanding will arise when this mind, which is peaceful, quiet, silent in a way, it will meditate on its own. Okay, now I'll leave it to you to meditate. Then I will ring the bell after 10 to 15 minutes. those who still want to meditate, you can continue. For those who have not, slowly, mindfully, come out of meditation. Just maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed for as long as you can. Then we turn to page 6. Page 6. We will do the invocation to the devas. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good doctrine or the teaching of the king of sages, which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Now we will chant the Pali version. Samanta chakavalesu atra gacchantu devata saddhammang muni rajasa sunantu sakamokkadang dhammasavanankalo ayang padanta dhammasavanankalo ayang padanta dhammasavanankalo ayang padanta namo atassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa namo atassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa namo atassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa iti peso bhagava arahang sammasambuddho vijacarana sampanno sugato lokavidu anuttaro purisa dhammasarati satta deva manusanang buddho bhagavati swakato bhagavata dhammo sanditiko akaliko ehi paseko opanayiko pachyatang veditabbo venohiti supatipanno bhagavato sakkasango ujupatipanno bhagavato sakkasango nyayapatipanno bhagavato sakkasango samici patipanno bhagavato sakkasango yatidang chattari purisa yukani atta purisa pugala esa bhagavato sakkasango ahuneyo pahuneyo dakeneyo anjali karaniyo anuttarang punyaketang lokasati sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, let's pay respect to Tripa Jamma. Bhutang Pujami. Jamie. Sanghang Pu Jamie. Okay, you can be seated. Just relax body and mind. Then we can continue with our next session. We're supposed to continue with our this Buddha and his teaching. Chapter 12, I think we are at the final few years. The Buddha came out to teach to the world for a total of 45 years. We have covered, I think, 16 or 17 years. Then the rest I will let Hui Rong cover. Come, Hui Rong, come. I pass you the mic. We are at page 219 of the textbook. Those who don't have the textbook, don't worry. We will read it to you.
We have talked about the last 15 years. We have left the last 5 years. We have two stories. We will finish it today. When it was the 16th year, 是在阿拉比这个地方，那这个地方有一个人，哦，他很凶，然后有一次，他布达遇见了他，然后他很凶的叫布达滚开，而且连续，然后布达就顺着他的意就走开了，然后又叫他回来。然后这样子来来回回三次哦，然后布达都照办，可是第四次的时候，布达就拒绝他，哦，然后跟他说你要怎样就怎样好了，然后他竟然出了一些题目来考考他，他说如果你回答不了的话，我要把你碎尸万段，然后。摧毁你的思想，撕碎你的心。那布达就说，就回答他说：“不可能，朋友，你不可能。在这个世界上没有一个人，甚至没有一个天人，没有一个婆罗门，所有的人都不可能可以捣乱我的思想，撕碎我的心。哦，可是如果你有什么问题，你就问吧。”他问了四个问题哦。他说什么是人生中最珍贵的？那什么是最能够给人快乐的？然后什么是你的生命中最甜美的？然后是什么是你认为最好的生活？那我觉得布达其实都很根据这个人，然后很回答得非常的善巧啊。他说，英文本是说 confident， 信是人生最珍贵的用。我觉得那个应该是 faith 吧。啊，那修行能够修行佛法是。人生中最快乐可以带给人最大的快乐啊，真理呢是所有味道里面最甜美的啊，然后正见呢是在你的生活中最正见就是说你都了解，而且是很正确的了解啊。这个是在你生命中生活里面是最重要的。然后他又问了四个问题哦，怎么样能够穿越那种 flood， 就是那种很急很湍急的洪流，怎么样能够穿越大海，怎么样能够战胜悲伤，怎么样能够获得清净。那 布达就说了，可以正信渡过洪流，可以正念通过大海，可以精进战胜悲伤。我看到这一句我觉得非常的煞度，因为我从来没有想过说原来精进可以战胜，精进就是 right effort、啊、可以战胜悲伤，就是说当你很沮丧或者失智的时候，原来精进才能够战胜悲伤，而不是说啊 let go 啦什么什么可以战胜悲伤，是精进能够战胜悲伤哦。那只有 wisdom 能够最后获得清净，不论你多有钱多漂亮多 lucky 多什么的，可是如果你没有智慧，你永远没有办法清净下来，只有除非你拥有智慧你才能够清净下来。好，那他又再继续问了，怎么样能够得到智慧呢？怎么样可以致富呢？怎么样可以有名呢？怎么样可以有朋友呢？然后今生今世可以不用再悲伤。看起来好像这些都是我们常常遇到的问题，可是你有没有想过那个答案，如果今天我问你，你的答案是什么？哦、我看这段的时候，我会先想想我的答案是什么。可是我没有布达那么有 wisdom。我们看布达怎么回答哦。正念跟理智有信的人，他可以聆听，简单讲就是佛法而得到智慧。好，所以他第一个问题说可以怎样可以得到智慧，他说只要有正念有理智有信心的人，你聆听清净者的涅槃之法就可以得到智慧、哦、然后呢做应该做的事精进不息就可以致富。这个可能大家都会有很多问号吧，哈。那怎么样可以有名？怎么样可以有名？以真理得名，然后以布施能够得到朋友，啊。然后诚实的人应该有四种美德：真诚、善德、勇力、慷慨。可是我觉得这不应该是刻意的。其实当你很诚心的在修行。不要说修行，就是说在这条，如果你很了解所谓的佛法的真理之后，你其实就是这四种很好的美德你一定都有的，这不是强求的，也不是说很刻意需要这样做的、哦、然后死了之后不需要悲伤的、然后试问其他苦行僧及婆罗门是否能够超越诚实、自我克制、布施跟忍怒？然后那个他就那个阿拉，这个叫做阿拉巴卡，他就其实他已经很明白，其实布达讲的这个每一句话，其实都可以是上一堂课的，哦、然后他。他其实就马上感受到布达所需要想要表达的意思，然后他就总而言之他就很折服布达的这一番话。那其实这虽然这是一段小故事，可是里面每一句话其实每个人可以仔细去想想，其实是有它很大的道理在里面、哦、这是在第十六年在阿拉维这个地方以忍辱为生的阿拉瓦卡跟布达之间的一些对话。十七年在拉加嘎哈，十八年在卡利亚拉，
呀，卡利亚拉
啊。然后呢，我们就要讲最后一个故事，就是 在第二十年，十九年跟二十年，其实都是在那个王舍城这个地方。那最后要提到的这个人，其实是很有名，就是安古里玛拉，他是一个很有名，而且是臭名远播的一个冷面杀手。因为他有一个故事，就是他其实本来是出生在一个非常好的家庭里面，而且他在印度很有名的一个学校接受教育，而且他其实是一个非常优秀的学生啊。可是我们的书上是写说，因为同学嫉妒他，在他的老师前面讲他的坏话，所以他的老师很火大，然后竟然叫他说必须拿1000根人的手指头拿来当做答谢他老师的谢礼。这怎么可能会有这种老师是叫学生去砍断1000根人的手指头哦？他虽然很不愿意，可是他也接受了啊。那他就开始过着杀人的生活。那到了他得到了999根人的手指头，他其实把人的手指头都串起来好像一个花环一样，所以他的中文名字叫做紫曼，手指的紫，曼就是花环的意思。所以之后讲跟他有关的中文叫做紫曼经，就是手指串成了花环的一部经。那所以他有一个别名叫做紫曼。那等到他杀到999根的时候，其实这第1000根他要fulfill他老师的要求了哈。那当他杀，他完成这个第999，这第1000根，他正在寻找目标的时候，其实是他本来是要对他的妈妈动手，可是不大因为不大用他的神通，他知道他将要对他的妈妈动手，所以不大就阻止啊，不大就阻止了他。那他很生气哦，然后不大在这个时候是用神通来显现，他用平常的步伐走路，但是哈，安古里玛拉却不能够接近他啊。安古里玛拉不论怎么用力跑，他就是追不上布达。然后追了一阵子之后，他就说，他就叫布达停下来啊。然后布达就很安详的跟他说：“我虽然在走，可是我早就停下来了，你也该停下来。”他其实呢，我觉得这是应该是说布达应该跟他有一点缘分吧。他讲这句话的时候，他心里在想说，我明明就已经停下来，为什么你还说叫我停下来？其实布达意思就是说叫他停止在做这些恶业。所以布达的意思，布达就说，我虽然是在走路，可是我却在我的心里面我是silent 的，可是你呢，你虽然停下来了，可是你一直在作奸犯科，一直在犯这些恶业，所以其实是你没有停下来，不是我没有停下来啊。然后所以布达就回答他说，因为哦，你常常自以为很骄傲，然后你一直停不下来，然后你就一直在犯这些恶业，那因为我的内心很平静，所以我早就停下来了。然后安古里玛拉在这个时候，他的那个善根一下子就被布达给触动到。然后他认为他马上就丢掉了他的宝剑啊盔甲，马上要皈依布达。然后布达也允许让他出家。那这个消息一下子就传开来，因为他在这个安古里玛拉在 那个在那个地方，在那个连那个国王都很吃不消，因为他都已经杀了999个人的，取了999个人的手指头，啊，所以大家都很惊讶他会臣服于伯大的臣服于伯大之下了，哦。可是故事没有完，其实安古里玛其实通常代表的是忏悔心，就是说他虽然做了非常多的恶业，可是因为他到最后他的善根被触动了，然后他马上会忏悔他所做的事情。我们接下来继续看，哦，可是，哦，他追随的布达之后，他其实并没有就从此过着快乐的生活，他其实就在常常在他很 silent 他的 mind 的 meditation 的时候，他一直忘不掉他以前的做的那些恶业，他一直忘不掉，而且他常常听到有人在他的刀下的惨叫声，或者是有人丢他石头啦，乱棍打他，这些其实布达就告诉他，这些其实都是他的业障的报应。那有一次他出去托钵的时候，他看到一个即将要生产的女人，他非常的痛苦，他那时候升起了非常强烈的悲悯，他非常的同情她，然后他就把他告诉了布达上，他觉得他很可怜，他很希望分享他很希望能够承担他的痛苦，哦。那布达就教了他念这一段，就是后来的紫曼经，哦。他说 Sister， 自从受戒了之后呢，我没有故意伤害友情的生命，然后呢我祝福你跟你的孩子安然无恙。这是当这个妇女要生产的时候，因为她看到她很痛苦，所以她其实就是 send 她的 metta 给这位妇女，哦。所以这就是后来蛮有名的紫曼经，哦。那书上是说这位妇女最后就平安的生下了一个孩子，所以这个紫曼经的效应一直传送到现在。我觉得那是因为她有把她的 metta 给send 出去的意义，哦。然后安古里玛拉最后是证到阿拉汉，然后他就说了，很多人因为武力而屈服，但是他却像一个既没有宝剑又没有棍棒的人臣服，哦，因为他用他的佛法感动了他，让他升起了忏悔之心，然后走向他该走向的路，哦。这个是安古里玛拉的故事。所以其实这一段其实是我觉得安古里玛拉重点是在讲忏悔。那忏悔的话，我们这一本书，
very good， 啥的 ，yeah，
啊，十八页
，yeah，
如果你像我一样哈，常常会想，我又没有做什么坏事，我为什么要忏悔？可是有时候哈，时间会来到，你就不由自主的会忏悔。
Yeah.
那这个十八页。是 Brother Liu 曾经教过我们怎么样 ask forgiveness，yeah. 这个可能等一下请 Brother Liu 再提醒我们一次。
yeah， 可以，是的，是的。
那我今天讲得很快，所以我还可以讲一个小故事。
好啊，好啊，个
这个是跟忏悔有关，是我自己的忏悔，就像我刚刚讲的，我觉得。我是比较死脑筋的人，我没有办法说在不知道的情况之下就可以很深深的忏悔。可是真的有一些情况，你就会不由自主的。两个礼拜前有一个星期一，我从 office 我要走路回家，那时候是下班了， 我通常下班都是 走路回家，大概十分钟不到就到了。可是我很 enjoy 那一段路程，因为非常的 relax。
嗯，
那一天我其实完全想不起来是怎么一回事。我的 office， 我要走回家的时候，我会经过一所小学，小学对面有一排树。那我当我在走过去那个草丛的时候，我踏到了一只铁钉。那只铁钉很可怕的大只哦，它大概有六七公分这么大。然后后来我的老公问我，怎么可能有一只铁钉在那边？你没有看到吗？我说，其实我真的，你说我太不 mindfulness 吗？我这个我有点否认。其实我真的不知道当时的情况。总而言之，我的左脚不偏不倚踏到那一只铁钉，那只铁钉很大一只哦，这么大一只哦，而且它是生锈哦，它是我后来看，它是那个大耳聋钉在那个树上面的招牌掉下来，然后那一只铁钉就这样子。我跟我老公说，那只铁钉等我很久了。那我踏到了之后哈，我没有生气耶。
Yeah, very good. 杀掉。
我扣我老公哈，其实哈，我踏到之后，我反而我不知道为什么，我反而那时候有觉得我很 lucky。
Yeah.
真的哦，而且有一句话马上浮现在我的脑袋里。重罪轻受、
yeah.
然后我那时候不由自主的就 ask forgiveness、
嗯、
在那种情况之下，你就很不由自主的会忏悔。虽然说真的，那个大耳聋跟我有什么关系我也不知道，可是在那个时候你就会不由自主的忏悔。为什么我也不知道，为什么刚刚好我会不偏不倚的，我真的是踏上。而且哦，我本来买了一双新鞋子，那个鞋底很薄，可是我那天穿的是旧的，那个鞋底很厚，所以我其实只有表皮而已。那只铁钉大概这么大只哦，可是我却只有表皮。虽然我老公后来还载我去打破伤风，可是在我等我老公来那时候，我那时候我有讲不出来的高兴耶。我也其实我后来觉得，在我一踏下去的时候，其实哦，虽然我不知道怎么一回事，可是那时候有那种真的就是要，就是你的忏悔心马上就跑出来了，而不是在那边骂那个大耳聋。真的哦，在那个时候不由自主的就 ask for forgiveness 哦，而且那时候会觉得，那时候第二个念头是，哦，还好是我踏到，因为他是在小学旁边，
yeah.
小学的旁边，小学生踏到他就完蛋了。
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
所以在那时候我就觉得，我觉得好 lucky 哦。
Yeah.
讲不出来的。
Yeah, 杀掉，杀掉。
那个忏悔心就不由自主从你的心里面跑出来。平常我觉得我还没那么深的忏悔，反而这样子，其实我也没有受苦啦，因为我大概只有跛脚一天而已。而且我还那时候想，哇，还好星期一，因为星期二我要报告，我要是星期二踏到的话，我就不能来了。
是啊，
所以。
好啊，
后来就觉得，应该是说，因缘到了，你该怎样就会怎么样。
呀，因缘到了，
那我讲完吧。最后的那二十，这是前面二十年，布达其实比较没有居无定所。那后面那二十年，他就几乎都是在。
沙瓦蒂、啊、
对，他就 大部分都是在社会城的起源度过、 这个就是他前后的45年。那比较重点是的是在讲前面20年，那讲了一些啰啰嗦嗦，讲了一些故事，然后希望大家有一些收获。
啊，萨德，
谢谢，
萨德。啊 ，Let us rejoice. Very good sharing. 啊，很好，谢谢你。
Okay, thank you so much to Virong for giving us a very good sharing on this chapter 12. So today is the last few years. Three main stories which are very good. For those who are new, especially Brother Te and the son, for your information, Virong is from Taiwan, so she is a Taiwanese. So she only know mainly Mandarin, so her English is not so good. That's the reason why she prefers to share in Mandarin. But don't worry, I will do the translation. Yeah, I will guide you through. For those who have the text, turn to page 219. We are at the 16th year at the city of Alavi. So this is about the conversion of Alavaka, the demon, who feasted on human flesh. And it took place in the year 16 after the Buddha's enlightenment. Alavaka was a ferocious demon, was enraged to see the Buddha in his mansion. So, like any human being, if somebody occupied your house without telling you, I think you will not be happy. But in this particular case, it's because the Buddha came to help him, and he didn't know. But this Alavaka also, although ferocious, he is a demon, but he has good roots. That's why the Buddha must have seen it. So that's the reason why the Buddha came to him. Then he came up to the Buddha and asked him to leave. Very well, friend, said the Buddha, and went out. Then he said, come in. The Buddha again came in. For the second time, the third time, he made the same request, and the Buddha obeyed. But when he commanded the Buddha for the fourth time, the Buddha refused and asked him to do what he could or what he wanted. Then this demon said, well, I will ask you a question, say, Alavaka. If you were not answer, if you cannot answer, I will scatter your thoughts, or reave your heart, or take you by your feet and fling you across the Ganges River. Then the Buddha replied, nay, friend, I see none in this world, inclusive of gods, Brahmas, ascetic, and Brahmin, among the multitude of gods and men, any of them who could scatter my thoughts, or reave my heart, or take me by the feet and flung me across the Ganges. However, friend, ask what you wish. So that was the hint to the demon. Nobody can do that to him. So whatever question you have, you better ask. Then Alavaka asked the following question. Like Hui Rong pointed out, these are very, very important questions. But the way the Buddha answered it is even more superb because he used the Dhamma. So you should listen to this. So Alavaka wanted to know, herein, which is man's best possession? So this is some curious question that most human beings are interested in. So they want to possess the best possession. Then which well-practiced yields happiness. What must you practice to have happiness? Then the third one, which is also very important, which indeed is the sweetest of taste, because it is regarding your sense bud. Then how do we live life? How do we live life so that we can call it the best of life? To To this question, the Buddha answered thus. So why not we have a discussion? What do you think? Before you look at the Buddha's answer. Herein, what is man's best possession? What do you think is our best possession? We will think mainly of what? Materialistic. Money, wealth. Oh, Gurgur don't agree. He don't think of money. Okay, pass the mic to Paramasuri's daughter. Yeah, she don't agree. Money and wealth is not important. Okay, girl, come.
Because inside the hospital, I always see very rich people.
Oh, very good. Yes.
I mean, like you got all the money and then you don't have the health. It's
very good. Sadhu. Wow. Oh, very good point.
They always tell the doctor, oh, I got the money, I got the money.
Yeah, yeah.
You must do everything.
Do whatever you can to help me.
Yeah,
the cure to cure them. Oh, okay. So that was the main reason. Very good. Sadhu to you. Any other reason? But that is a very good reason.
You
very
got
good.
Money, so what?
Yeah, very good. See, so young. Not graduate at all. Okay, off the mic, Sadhu. Very good answer. Thank you so much. I like this type of question because she's still a student. She study TCM. You heard of TCM? Traditional Chinese medicine. She is in her, I think, beginning of fifth year. Fourth year, yeah. Ending of fourth year, year four. Ending of year four. And she used to visit hospital. Then he saw a lot of very rich people, but very sick. So like she said very aptly, what's the use of so much money when it can buy you health? So that is a good reflection. There's a human being through delusion thing. If you have the money, the wealth, then you will be happy. You will have the good life. I would not deny to a certain extent there is some truth in it. Because you need to have financial stability in life. Money can actually help you in many ways. If you know how to use money for the good of the many and yourself and your loved one, then money has its usefulness. But if you don't know how to use money, and if you keep on chasing after money, then losing your health in return means you are being foolish. If you work for money, and you don't know how to use the money that you earn, then for me, wealth is not the answer for you. The best of possession, what else apart from financial, materialistic gain? What else do you look forward to? What do you want to own? Anybody got any idea? Or share with us some of your idea. Anybody? What other thing do you think you want to own? As a Buddhist, what is your outlook of this question? Move a bit further, then you will get an answer. As a Buddhist, how do you understand possession? There are two aspects in the teaching where you can learn. The first is the spiritual understanding, the deeper aspect. What does the Buddha's teaching entails when it comes to possession? The famous saying is what? In the Dhammapada. My son, my wealth. This only the fools lament. Remember? For even that very body also don't belong to him. Where and son, where and wealth. So all these possessions, you cannot own them. Do you understand? Because you yourself is condition arising, not a permanent unchanging entity. You can't even own your body. How can you own anything? That's why they have this nowadays, this new understanding. They try to come out with all the, I think the famous verse, or good morning verses, teaching you how to live your life properly. At the age of what and what, you must do what. For me, it's not so much of all those things. Sometimes it helps, but these are mundane wisdom. These are not true wisdom. True wisdom is you must understand, like the Buddha teach, this body and mind, the so-called human being, is not really you. But this one is karmically conditional for you to come to this world. And this is connected to you. Even though not a permanent unchanging entity, not you, but this one is connected to you, karma-wise. Because this one is subject to karma. So you cannot simply do things with your form and mind. You must have wisdom. The user of the form and mind is very important. If the user lacks wisdom, then this form and mind will have problem, will have downfall. Then it will cling, it will attach, it will hold, it will grasp. Then suffering will be the result. Because according to the Buddha, the cause of suffering is craving, attachment, born of self-delusion. All this you will come to understand as you meditate. Then when we understand this, whatever possession we hold, we will understand they don't belong to us. Because this very body and mind too, we cannot own them, cannot hold them. They are dependent originating, condition arising. When the supporting conditions are still there, you exist. When supporting conditions cease to be, you cease to be. Then as we grow up, we age, we go through phases of life. Yeah. Let's say we live on the average of 75 years old. Maybe I will share with you all this part, this very important part, which I don't think many people know how to reflect and contemplate. And most people live life without understanding life. That's why they didn't have a chance to go through all this, to really develop the understanding. And they just go past all this without really live or really understand those phases of life. I call them the phases of life because as we grow up, as we age, we experience the body differently. Yeah? You can follow, eh? When we are young, yeah? Let's say before we go to school or kindergarten, those are the most, they call what? Happy-go-lucky year. You don't know anything, you got parents, provided your karma is good, to look after you. Then you grow up. Most of the time, you are happy. Happy-go-lucky. You get what you want. But if your karma is not so good, then you may not get it. But most of us, at this age, we don't know anything. Do you agree? You just exist through, depending on your karma, your parents. But for me, it's different. When I was very young, my mind was very different. I got no thought on. I can still recall until the age of 6. My mind was like pure, nothing inside there. I was very innocent. My parents also scared I am dumb, like I cannot talk. Especially my grandmother used to tell me, I thought you were dumb. You're 5 years old, you still don't speak or seldom speak. All of them told me one thing. I am very cute. Very naive. Very, very beautiful. In the sense, where I saw my own photo when I was 2 years old. My father took me and took that photo at the studio. Then when I look at the photo after I grew up and I know what meditation, then I can see the innocent look now. The pure mind is right there. And as I go to school when I was young, my mind broke very fast. I want to understand life. That's why all those phases I go through, I'm in awe. Then when I was very young, even at school, I used to tell you, standard 1, standard 2, I was the last and the second last in the class. But I got no fear. I got no such thing as like inferiority complex and all things, and I get no such thing. My nature was very beautiful. It just like deep inside, it knows. You can laugh. You all can like look down upon me, laugh at me. Yeah? How I wear the clothing that my mother make. Huh? Some of the sleeves long and short. But I just allow them to be. And there was no anger, no unhappiness. But deep inside, it just say, the real value of a being is what is inside. Yeah. You are a true living being who have the understanding. People don't understand, they can laugh and say all those things. But for me, I know who I am. I will become successful. When I was young, I already knew. And I knew I can learn things very fast. The moment I understand, I learn very fast. And I can overtake people. Yeah. And I like to associate with people who are very good at study. I didn't purposely go there and want to be their friend. But this nature somehow got that good karma and good condition to become their friend. And they will invite me to their house and all those things. That's how I observe and learn. That was my nature. Then as I grew up, I really did the thing that I really love to do. Then as I excel in the academic field in later years, after I developed the understanding of the language, math and science, geography is automatic. I can understand very fast and excel very fast. Then when I came out to work too, I meditate a lot. Even before I came out to work, when I was in the uni, I already meditating and all those things. Then I'm very clear about my life, the various phases. Then even after the year 1989, when I was 35 years old, when I came to understand the teaching, that was the most beautiful years of my life until now. I plan every phase of my life. I understand how the body will change, how all this will happen. Then I do what I want to do in life. I break it up into first 25, second 25, then third 25, the three phases. First phase I've controlled. Beautiful. Yeah? As a kid, then, of course, karma also quite good. Never have any problem with 3 meal and shelter and education and all those things. And never have problem with life. Then I did very well in my education, so I excel. I reached the pinnacle of my academic success, and later on when I came out to work, I reached the pinnacle of my career too. Then spiritual aspect also same. I also reached the pinnacle of it, and I was able to have all this because my nature realized is from the past. This nature inherited them. Then as I contemplated into life, I tell myself, first 25 years education, I grew up, I graduate. Yeah? I graduate at the age of 24 plus. Then 25 onward, I work. I don't want to work until 50 because you don't need so much money and possession to live life, understand that? If you are contented with life, simple life, you don't need much money, you don't need much wealth. When you have enough to go by, then your karma will present you with whatever it needs. Then I realize the moment I retire, I make more money than I working. So it tend to sort of blessing in disguise. But before I retire, I already knew also I will make more money by not working. So because of that, I had the best of both worlds. I retired at the age of 40-something. Then I tell myself, the last 35, not sure. Because you are not sure you will live until the age. Yeah? So this one not guaranteed one. But I look at my health. I think before the age of 70, I'll be healthy. Yeah? Or 75. Maybe 75 still okay nowadays with medical improvement and medical science. So I say I had about 15 years of good life. At least 20 years, 20 to 25 years, if let's say up to the age of 75. Then if I retire early, I may have 30 years of good life. I want to spend this life with my children, my family, then do the thing that I like to do in life. And that was what my planning was. And I got to do it. I like to teach them. I like to share the truth. Provide the people got condition. That's why in the year 1989, when I was ready, nobody came. Only the year 2004, Yun Chat came. So during 89 to 2004, 15 years, I got honeymoon year. I spend time with my family, and I do a lot of things that I like to do. Then I develop the interest in traveling too. Then I learn many things from my children, from life. So this is how you can plan your life. Then you know, as this body age, life become more and more difficult. You don't have the Dhamma. You can be afflicted by the First Noble Truth of Reality. So these are the things that you have to be careful. Then coming back to possession, I think we need to really, really look at it. Because there is one aspect that the Buddha mentioned. As a lay person, he said we can have four types of happiness. What is the first type of happiness? Happiness of? Possession, anasana. Means you can have things, you can own things, you can have possession, like money, property, wealth, but don't attach to them. Do you understand? Happiness of possession, that you have gained all this wealth, money, possession, in a proper way. It's also mentioned just now under, I think it's not Alavaka, it's the other one. Alavaka. I will read to you later. I just finish all this part first. So the first type of happiness is happiness of possession, where you have the condition to receive all this through your good karma, and you really work towards it. You don't steal. This type of wealth lasts very long. Lasts beyond this life. The hereafter also is mentioned. Then the second type of happiness is what? The happiness comes from what? Ability to use this wealth, this possession, for the good of yourself, your loved one, and the many. Means you know how to use it for your own comfort, happiness, your loved one, and to help people. So there is a lot of joy. Then the third one is the happiness born of debt-free, when you are free of debt, freedom from debt. And that is a very, very joyful mind. When you don't have debt, especially those who borrow a lot. The worst is they are forced to borrow from loan shark. That one is nightmare. So these are the first three types of happiness that lay people can have. The last one is more difficult to achieve, but you can still achieve them. To live a blameless life so that wise people don't blame you. So for this particular fourth type of happiness, you have the means. Don't be too calculative or stingy. If you can, like one of my friends used to say, whatever that money can help you solve the problem, that is not a problem, understand? So make use of that. So you can make life better for people, like when you are involved in an accident, let's say you drive a car, you bang a motorbike, people. So even you are right, the motorbike is wrong, so what? You should look at that person. Are you okay? Do you need me to call the ambulance or send you to the hospital? Then don't worry about your motorbike repair. I will handle it. So you pass that person your contact number or the card. I was able to share this was because when I was in my second year, I borrowed a classmate, uni mate's motorbike. Then I met with an accident. I went through a small road. Then I accidentally banged into a wall. Oh, that time Volvo, big car. And that owner was so kind, you know. He came down, I thought, die already. I was passing through a small lane, I didn't see him, and he came out, I just banged into him. And the first thing that came to mind was, how am I going to pay my classmate? The motorbike was damaged. Then, to pay for the car was something that I can't afford. Well, my whole year's Kedah State loan was only 2,000 ringgit. I need to spend 1,008 on my uni education. And I was so surprised. He was so kind. You know, he came down. He looked at me. He said, are you okay? He said, I said, I'm okay, but the motorbike is not okay. He said, you don't worry. He passed me his card. No. He said, you go to the mechanic, get it all done up, then give me a call. I will go there and pay. Wow, I said, thank you so much. I said, what about your car? Leave that to me. He said, this is a small thing. Means he's such a nice guy. Very likely, karma-wise, in the past, I was like this fellow. I was not the one that is greedy, selfish. Otherwise, I would kena all the thing. So karma is like that. So to live a blameless life so that people will not blame you, this is the way to resolve things. If you have the means, why not? You can say, thank you, sorry, forgive me if I have done anything wrong. Just by saying kind words, good, pleasant and gentle words, it can help situation, calm down situation, bring about understanding, peacefulness of mind, joy and all this thing. This is what life is all about. So these two aspects, I hope you understand. You can own, you can have possession, but don't attach. Well, they never really belong to you. End of the day, you can't own anything. Like the famous saying, Lai ye kong, qi ye kong. Nama si zu he bi ku ku wei kong liu lei. When you come to this world, you are born empty. When you leave, you also cannot take anything along. So why do you in between grieve over emptiness? Do you understand? Fight and do all those funny things, make yourself miserable. Then go to court, sue here, sue there. Finally end up misery. Even if you won the court case, you are happy. But during those times, you may not be happy. So this is the main one. So now maybe no need so much discussion, because I have to end this, otherwise I won't end. We look at the Buddha's reply, which is spiritual, non-materialistic. The Buddha's answer is very beautiful. He said, herein, confidence is man's best possession. So confidence is like faith, like Hui Rong say, faith. When you have faith in the Buddha and his teaching, that is your best possession. Because without faith, the spiritual faculty, you cannot learn the Dhamma. That is really true. You must have faith. Yeah. So that is the best possession. Then Dhamma well practiced yields the best happiness. So if you want to have happiness in life, you must have the Dhamma. So this is very beautiful. So a lot of people say, if I have money, I will be happy. If I can marry the girlfriend I like, the pretty and beautiful one, I will be happy. Are you sure? You will find out later. If your karma is not good, you will get hell. Then the third answer also very good. What is the sweetest of taste? What is it? Truth indeed is the sweetest of taste. Do you know why? When you tell the truth, that is the highest. Because truth can bring forth wholesomeness, goodness, liberate the mind. Without truth, you will have a lot of wrong view. You will have a lot of selfishness. Otherwise, you will speak the truth. So truth indeed is the sweetest taste. You can taste truth. That is the highest spiritual understanding for truth free. Only truth or wisdom liberates the mind. Then the last one, how to live life to the fullest, or the best of life, to live the best of life. So live with understanding is the best, the Buddha said. Live with understanding is the same as having the Dhamma, understand not? When you live with understanding, you will accord and flow. You will abide by the nature's law that governs life and existence. You won't violate them. So because of that, you will have the good life. Yeah? It's like you understand the secret of life, then you know how to live life. So you can live life with wisdom, with understanding. That is the best of life. Mm. Then after that, Alavaka asked four further questions, which is very good. How does one cross the flood? How does one cross the sea? How does one overcome sorrow? How does one purify? So this one, Avalaka, in a way, is quite a contemplative guy, yeah? Even though he is a voracious demon. Mm. For him to come up with such questions, he must have contemplated life. Mm. Then the Buddha replied him very well. By confident, means self-confident, one crosses the flood. Mm. Then by heedfulness, you cross the sea. Yeah. So flood is easy. Yeah? You are confident, you can move to higher ground, and you can make sure you cross the flood. Then in the sea means the suffering world, the wheel of birth and death. Mandarin you call Ku Hai, the suffering, what? Salty water, or bitter water. Call a lot of suffering, So you need heedfulness to cross the sea. Then by effort, one overcomes sorrow. That one, Hui Rong was very impressed. She thought only through wisdom. Actually, through wisdom, you can overcome your sorrow. But if you have this diligent, or right effort, you can also overcome sorrow. You remember the five ways to overcome unwholesome thought. The first four ways is, in a way, contemplative and meditative. First, think of the direct opposite wholesome thought. Then the second one is, think of the consequence of holding on to that wrong thought. And the third one is meditative. By just silent, aware, everything will cease. Your anger, your hatred, your fear all will disappear. Then the mind will return to its original state before stirring, which is the inner peace, inner calmness, and inner mindfulness. Anyway, so meditation is just allow things to be, don't do anything. Then all this thinking, all this restlessness of mind, fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation, they will slow down. Then finally they come back and become still. It will cease to be. Because when you don't feed it with any more energy, thought energy, it will cease to be. So the fourth one is to develop wisdom, is it? By tracing the origination factor, how you become angry, fearful, and how the wrong thought arise. So retrospectively, with wisdom, you can reverse it. So you have to develop right view, to perceive things in accordance with Dhamma. Then you will not stir, you will not react. Then all these wrong thoughts will not arise. The last one is by mere determination, remember? With tongue against the palate, you determine to overcome the unwholesome thought. So this is how effort, by effort one overcomes sorrow. Then the last one is by wisdom is one purified. So this one is obvious. Then Alavaka came up with a follow-up question, which is very good. How is wisdom gained? How are riches found? How is renown, means fame and all those things, gained? How are friends bound? So this is what this demon was lacking. So he wants to have the answer. Then he said, passing from this world to the next, how does one not grieve? Means no more suffering. See, these are all very beautiful questions. The Buddha answered very well. He said, the heedful, intelligent person of confidence gains wisdom by hearing the Dhamma. You must remember this sentence. This is what cultivation is all about. If I have time, I will go through the cultivation with you. Huh? The chart. Last week we didn't finish. Huh? It's on the whiteboard. After I go through you. You see, the heedful means you are ever mindful. Intelligent person of confidence. You must have confidence, understand? At least self-confident. Then later on, confident in the Buddha and his teaching. Intelligent means not deluded. Also not wise, but not stupid. Intelligent means sengmok. Or not really clever. No, not really clever. Intelligent. You know what is intelligent? In a way, it's like smart, but for the good way. So he said, you must be heedful, you must have intelligence and self-confident. Then you will gain wisdom by just listening to the Dhamma. But you must listen to the true Dhamma, is it? By hearing the Dhamma of the pure one that leads to Nibbana, means the enlightened beings. Yeah. He who does what is proper, this one also important. Proper means you don't cheat, you don't deceive, you don't commit all this evil karmic negativity. He who does what is proper, persevering means you really persevere. You are very diligent, you persevere. And strenuous means you work towards it. Gains wealth. This is very true. I believe this because I realize this is what my nature has. So you must have understanding. You cannot shortcut. Then this wealth won't last. You will lose it back. But if you have gained it through your strenuous hard work, then you persevere, you are patient, you don't give up. Then you do what is proper. You will gain wealth. Then by truth, one attains fame. If you are truthful, people like you because you don't cheat. You don't lie to people. You don't do all those. It's like you are very honest, very sincere. That's why truthfulness is very important. By truth, one attains fame. Then generosity binds friends. This one everybody know. If you are very generous, you got a lot of friends. People want to be your friend, your good friend. That faithful householder who possess these four virtues, you check how many you have. If you have them all, I sadhu you. You will be beautiful. Then you will not grieve after passing away from this life. You guarantee good life next life. Check. First one you must have truthfulness. Those who lie cannot qualify. That's why you must be truthful. Truthful to your parents. Truthful to your wife, your girlfriend. also to your spouse. Good moral. This one you all have. Because you all keep precepts and all those things. Then courageous. Are you courageous? Hey, you must have this. Hey, I'm very courageous when I was young. And even later on in the uni day. That's why some of my uni classmates, they know I'm very courageous. I am not the type when meet problem, I run. No. I am the one that first go forward. But of course, I don't try to be a hero. I do what I can, you see. Then those who are observant, they know. They say you follow Theo, you sure won't make mistake. and I don't know why. You know, this like a lot of people trust me. They have faith in me. When they go with me, they just follow me. Then the other one is liberality. You know why liberality is very important? Do you know why or not? What is it like to be liberal? Liberal means what? Not bound, of course, but a deeper meaning is you don't control people. Understand? Free is the right word. But free in the sense that you don't control people. Understand? You are very liberal with your kid. Understand? Your children. Understand? If you keep on controlling your kid, I tell you, you won't have good life in the hereafter, I tell you. You will have parents who will control you back. Understand? This one cannot, that one cannot. So that's why you must have liberality. Very liberal to your children. Liberal doesn't mean let them do what they like, you know. Don't force them to do things that they don't like. That is liberalism. Understand? But you have a duty as parent to advise them. Do you know that? To bring them up. To give them the right understanding. So that they can make the right decision in life. Then, under the Buddha's householder's code, you're supposed to arrange for their marriage too. That is your duty, you know. No? But you cannot force them to marry who. But if there is condition, it's in the what they call Sigalowa Sutta. You go and read. The kid also got duty towards their parent. So likewise, it's vice versa. So liberality, that's why the Buddha is very complete. He said, you will grieve not after passing away. Otherwise, without liberality, you can have all the other three, you still get into big trouble. Right? There you go. Then well ask many other ascetic and Brahmin whether there is found anything greater than truthfulness, self-control, generosity, and patience. So these are very important understanding virtue. Understanding well the meaning of the Buddha's word, Alavaka said, how could I now ask diverse ascetic and Brahmin? No need already. Today I know what is the secret of my future welfare. See? Like he knows the secret of life, he knows what to do, he knows how to live life already. For my own good did the Buddha come to Alavi. So he knew the Buddha came to help him. Today I know where gifts bestow yields fruits in abundance. See? From village to village, from town to town, will I wander, honoring the fully enlightened one, the Buddha, and the perfection of the sublime Dhamma. So this was how beautiful that section is. Then Angulimala, of course, we have gone through. This one is easy. You go back and check. Maybe I will explain only this part. You see, when the Buddha uses psychic ability to move so that Angulimala cannot catch up with him. Then you remember what Angulimala said. He asked the Buddha to stop. He called him by what? Ascetic. Thou holiest. Thou holiest. He said, stop, ascetic, stop. He said, the Buddha calmly said, though I walk, yet I have stopped. You too, Angulimala, should stop. Then Angulimala very confused. Because he was panting, he stopped. Then he asked the Buddha to stop. He said, I already stopped. You someone asked me to stop. But you still walking. You say you already stopped long ago, someone. So he cannot understand. So he wants to know, why did the Buddha say that? Yeah, he knew ascetic would not lie. And the Buddha said, I had stopped long ago because I had stopped killing people, harming people, and doing all this nonsense. But you haven't stopped. Until today, you still have anger, violence, desire to come after me. That's why you haven't stopped. The moment he heard that, he understood because his good karma condition came back. Then he threw away everything. He knew he has followed the wrong teacher. Then he immediately asked to be ordained. Then he called Ehi Bhikkhu, means the Buddha agreed to take him in. But initially he suffered. He suffered a lot because he cannot meditate. You know why? The memory of the people he killed and all those things came back to him. Then when he went out for alms round, people remember him. He was a monster. So people threw stone at him and he was bleeding. Then he came back and the Buddha, they all saw. The Buddha tell him to be patient. This is your karma. You have to repent and pay back all this karma. Then Hui Rong talk about her famous story of how she did the repentance recently. To her, if it's things that haven't happened, she say, I don't want to repent one. She got that character. Then that day, when he passed by, I think construction site or don't know what, I don't know. That's your workplace, huh? School. School, next to the school. He accidentally stepped on a nail, rusty nail, very long. Luckily, he changed over to the other shoe, the sole very thick one. So it was only slightly wounded. So blessing in this guy. Then he knew there was so much joy. He said, if he has not been pricked, he has not had the condition and the good karma, the student nearby will get into trouble. So this type of thing is, when you have this type of good intention, you remove it, clear it, and don't get angry. Like she said, there was no anger, there was only joy. Then she asked for forgiveness and repented. So this is beautiful. Then to elaborate on repentance is, over the eons and eons of birth and death, especially when you are born during the non-sasana period, the dark ages, you would have committed a lot of wrong thing, karmic negativity. So you have to ask for forgiveness. Because this will break your karmic obstruction. Otherwise, your karma will be very severely afflicted. Because karmic obstruction will obstruct you from receiving help, from having the condition to understand things and overcome your karmic friction. So all this has to do with asking for forgiveness and repentance. Then after that, you vow not to repeat all this. You change course and walk towards the Dharma way. Then when you do that, your merits will become different. You will receive limitless merits, great merits. Then you can invoke power of merits to improve your life, to progress along the path of Dhamma. All these are very important. Okay, we end the sharing on the Buddha and his teaching. So now I'll come to this one. Yeah? Okay, I just have 10 minutes. I think just nice. You turn, those who have this sharing sheet, look at it, then I will explain. Those who don't have, maybe you look at the whiteboard, or you share with your friend. This one is based on the Surangama Sutta, Tuesday Dhamma sharing, held at my house. These are the important special Dhamma notes taken on the 12th. Sorry, the class was held on the 12th of March 2013, almost 5 years ago. So this particular sheet is very important. You look at the human being here, down here. This is where living beings are. So this living being, this chart is very important. Wait, I get this one to stabilize it, otherwise it keep on flying. So as a human being, you have a mundane mind. So this circle up there is the mundane mind, the samsaric mind. You know what is samsara or not? Ocean of birth and death. Samsara. Wheel of birth and death. So this is a samsaric mind. Keep on taking birth. Then towards the left, your left, samsaric or mundane mind, clinging and grasping onto this five aggregate of form and mind means the human being, the two aspects. And because of that, this one has problem. So this one develop suffering. So mundane living dominated by the mental hindrance, the five mental hindrance and the three evil roots, leading to suffering. Then the external phenomenal world of consciousness. This one continue to deceive you, delude you, and cause suffering and misery in you. The three universal characteristics of anicca, dukkha, and anatta are impermanent, suffering state, and non-self. If you can't see them, then you will be constantly trapped in the conditioned world. So this is mundane living, you cannot free your mind. Then here another box on the right. With you live with the five grasping aggregate, we call it the upadana khandas. The human being is being grasped as the me and the I, which is the ego atta, due to self delusion, because you think this one is you. So you created the self delusion. You cling on to this human being. In Mandarin they call ni wo xiang, wu yin. So when you cling on to this, you have problem. Then the Buddha said, the mind is the forerunner of all things. So you create through your mundane mind, your thought consciousness. Because you have a consciousness that is trapped in the physical body. Then your physical body has the five senses. Together with this consciousness, you have the six sendor, six type of consciousness. This is how you know the world. This is how you interact with the world. And this is how you created the phenomenal world. So this samsaric mind, this one is very powerful. This one, you have to use it to meditate, to develop wisdom, so that you can transform it and make it into the supramundane mind. So up here is the supramundane mind. So samsaric mind transform via wisdom become the supramundane mind. How do you transform? You can develop wisdom via the direct seeing. There's a square in between. Means you meditate via the silent mind with inner awareness to connect back to your true mind. There are two minds. One is the conditioned arising mind, dependent originating mind or mundane mind, thinking mind, the one thing a lot. That is not your true mind. Your true mind is silent, just aware before the knowing. So when you have that supramundane living, the supramundane mind, you will be able to live life as a noble one, as an enlightened being. So supramundane living can arise. Then this direct seeing, when you awaken, it will give rise to wisdom which is connected to the form and mind. That's why after that, the form and mind is no longer deluded. Then this true mind, which is all the time there. So this true mind, which is all the time there, you have to cease your mundane mind. Then you will realize the true mind. Then this true mind, when you realize, can arise the direct see to give rise to the wisdom which is connected to the form and mind. Then the form and mind, the samsaric mind, transform via wisdom to become the supramundane mind. So this one is no longer with delusion. Then you can live the life of an enlightened being. This is enlightened living, this circle. Existential or phenomenal world, yet you can live. This is enlightenment living. Enlightened, heedful, aware most of the time. So here is liberation, lead to peace, love, and joy. Free mind, enlightened living. We are the five spiritual faculty and the Noble Eightfold Path. Then this side is the Surangama Sutta's famous verse. Perception of form is consciousness, whereas its non-perception is wisdom. So when you have this understanding, you can see things as they are before the knowing. So this one all gives rise to wisdom and transformation. Then this true mind, when you have developed the understanding, it is just aware. It cannot come out to live life because just pure awareness before the thought or the knowing. So this true mind is not a being, not a person, not you. It's not an entity that can come out and live life. Cannot. But it is capable of direct seeing, awakening, giving rise to the wisdom to the form and mind, enabling you to transform the mundane mind into a supramundane mind. And this is how cultivation is to be developed. Then finally, when the true mind completely ceases through realization of Nibbana, cessation of form and mind, you will realize Nibbana. You can return to the source if you take the Bodhisattva way. that this is your true nature, the oneness nature, original nature. Bên sinh, phó sinh, bên lấy the biên mô, all these are here. So this is how this chart can help you develop the cultivation to understand everything. And it's just one simple chart on one page. And everything is there. Yeah. You don't ask me where I get it, because no book have this. This one you have to go and understand yourself, because this was drawn out by me. Yeah. So this is the full picture. Yeah. Do you have any question? We still got 2 minutes. Any question? Anybody got any question or anything you want to share and add? Can follow, yeah? No question. I mean, it's all understood, huh? What about the Buddha and his teaching? Do you have anything to add or share? Don't have. Means you all want to have your holiday. Eh? Tomorrow, holiday. Taipusam, after that, Federal Territory Day. So, 2 days. Then, one more Friday after that. Another 2 holidays, Saturday, Sunday. So, take 1 Friday off. You got 5 holidays. Okay, I think we end. Eh? So, let us compose our mind. Yeah, develop the faith, then mindfully we shall do the sharing of merits, transform merits, then you make your aspiration. Aka sata ca bumata deva naga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa cirang rakantu lokasasana ita wata ca amehi sampadan punya sampadan Sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang me nyatinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo idang me nyatinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo idang me nyatinang hotu sukhita hontu tayo imina punyang kamina Mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patiya sadu sadu sadu. Okay, let us pay respect to Paja, then we end. Thank you.